You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
This is Fight Back, 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 Back with Dr. Bob Fitrakis, heard exclusively on the world's greatest radio, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard. I'm Bob Fitrakis. Fight Back, Back, Back. Fight Back, Back, Back.
Don't give up the fight. Preacher, man, don't tell me heaven is on the earth.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with Dr. Bob Fitrakis, and you're listening to Fight Back. This is radio the way it should be heard. And here's breaking news. You won't hear this anywhere else, but go to thefreepress.com. The Ohio Secretary of State has authorized, quote, experimental software, untested and uncertified, to be installed in 39 counties, including Columbus and Cleveland, to help tabulate the votes. That's right, untested and uncertified software. We just got the contract today. It was leaked by an election official who wouldn't go on the record. You can go to freepress.org. They're calling it, quote, experimental. That means it doesn't have to be tested or certified. So brand new software patches all over Ohio just in time to count the vote. What do you think of that? Secretary of State John Husted appears to have allowed partisan software to count the vote in Ohio. So go to thefreepress.org. That's right, my newspaper, thefreepress.org, to read about this latest outrage, and it is an outrage, where Ohio Secretary of State John Husted has a contract to allow the installation of untested and uncertified software here in the key swing state of Ohio. Give me a call, 1-877-932-9766. That's 1-877-932-9766. The place to go, thefreepress.org. Let me go to the phone. Hello, caller. You're on Fight Back.
Bob, it's Harvey.
Harvey Wasserman, some breaking news. Thefreepress.org has just learned today that the Ohio Secretary of State, John Husted, is installing, quote, experimental software for vote counting tabulation that is uncertified and untested.
And in which machines is this going?
ES&S, 39 counties, more than 4 million voters, including the two largest cities, Columbus and Cleveland, will have, quote, experimental software. By declaring it experimental, he gets around the law that requires it actually be tested and certified. What do you make of that, Mr. Wasserman?
Well, it's just another in the long... Well, the question is, who wrote the software? Where did it come from?
From ES&S.
Okay, so, and what does it mean it's not tested?
No one's looked at it to see if it's malware, to see if it contains codes or it functions and works or has viruses or takes over your computer.
Fantastic. Well, that's par for the course.
It's trust,
Harvey.
How
many people will vote on this software?
More than 4 million voters are registered in those 39 counties.
Now, of course, that doesn't include Cincinnati because they have the Mitt Romney machines down there.
Okay, so John Husted, a Republican, will be installing this new experimental software. in 39 counties. And then down in the third largest city, Cincinnati, the machines will be directly linked, part of an investment of Solomare, Romney's private equity firm, in partnership with Higg Capital, where his major fundraisers are. It's the company that's raised the 11th most money for Romney. And Higg has as a wholly owned subsidiary, Hart Intercivic. Three of the five members on the board are either from Bain Company or two of them are Romney bundlers. So who controls the board of Hart Intercivic, America's second largest vote counting machine? Friends and fundraisers of Mitt Romney. And it's owned by Higg Capital, which also has an investment partner, Solomare, otherwise known as the Romney family.
Well, you know, that's par for the course. This is a rigging of the election. We're told not to, we shouldn't raise these issues because it discourages people from going to the polls.
What do you make of that argument that we shouldn't raise the issue of who controls the machinery of elections, who counts the votes, who has the hardware, who has the software, because we've been raising who owns them, whether it be Booz Allen Hamilton, which is owned by the Carlyle Group, which owns Seidel, or Hart Intercivic, owned by the Romney family and friends of Romney, or ES&S, which has a long history of being connected to Republicans, including for a period of time, owned in part by Senator Chuck Hagel, a Republican.
Well, Bob, tell the people listening in here what they need to do if they don't want to vote on an electronic voting machine.
Well, really, they need to request, again, paper ballots and, of course, attempt to vote early and to vote on paper. Many counties may not allow you this option, but that's what you need to insist on. But don't allow them to give you the second-class ballot, the provisional ballot. And, Harvey, you're circulating. You co-wrote a piece. I signed it as well on this question of election protection. What can you say?
Well, basically, we got a bunch of people who've been active with this issue for a long time, important researchers and writers. Joan Brunwasser, Victoria Collier, who has Joan Brunwasser is of Op-Ed News. Victoria Collier had a cover piece in Harper's Magazine about election theft. Greg Palast, of course, billionaires and ballot bandits. Mark Crispin Miller, Jonathan Simon, Emily Levy, and others who have been active on this issue and been breaking stories since 2000 for 12 years now, are basically saying that, you know, between disenfranchisement and the electronic voting machines, we're facing the possibility of another stolen election, and that we are not in any way, shape, or form partisan. We have no interest in who, as a group, and who becomes wins these elections. But we are very concerned about how they will be counted and who will be allowed to vote.
All right. I'm talking with Harvey Wasserman, senior editor of thefreepress.org, who's written a piece on why it's important to have election protection activists raising these questions. Now, there's been many people on the so-called left or liberal left or progressive community members that have sort of challenged us. And one shall remain unnamed, but used to actually write with us a little back in 04. What do you make of that when people you think should know better suddenly are attacking the election integrity movement because we're concerned about the non-transparency of the machines, the tabulators, and the companies?
Well, in this particular case, of course, there's a lot of ignorance involved. You know, an attempt to look credible, I suppose, to please funders, to ingratiate with the Democratic Party, which refuses to face up to this issue, And, you know, we've had a report from the John Conyers. We had Congressman John Conyers, and he was slapped down. We had a report from the Ohio Democratic Party, which pointed out that it took 55 minutes for the average black person to vote in Ohio in 2004 and only 5 minutes for the only average white person. But nonetheless, they didn't think there was any voter fraud going on. So this is a party line, and part of it, we believe, is that the Democrats, being a corporate party, have a vested interest in the ability to steal elections in case they're ever seriously challenged by another strong third-party movement like the socialists or the populists of the turn of the last century. And, you know, it's a willingness on the part of some people to turn a totally blind eye to something that they can't deal with. Because the fact is that electronic voting machines are totally, and the way it's set up now, are totally non-accountable. You can't account for the software, you can't account for the tallying, you can't account for technicians that come in through today and do little adjustments to, you know, recalibrations, they call them, or patches, and, you know, these are totally blind articles, these electronic voting machines. And the idea, and they're privately owned in most cases by Republican companies. So the idea that you could have a public election held on private machines is not being challenged. And, you know, the article in question, which ran at Alternet, says basically, oh, don't worry, they're not going to steal too many votes. The trick is to get enough people to come out that they can't overwhelm it with electronic theft. But, you know, the reality is all it takes is a few keystrokes and you can flip a whole election, one with a big margin, as we saw with Prop 1 in Ohio in 2005.
Right. Suddenly it's passing by 26 votes and it ends up losing by, you know, almost
26%.
Yeah, 26. Yeah, not 26 votes, right? 26%, and then it loses just by about that margin, you know, constituting an unprecedented flip from the actual tracking polls, how people said they were going to vote prior to the election. So, and there's a variety of names we have for this stuff. One, of course, is repress and flip. Right. You repress the voters, particularly black and Hispanic voters, which you call the new Jim Crow and Juan Crow. And you then get the vote close enough to flip. And then in the other case, Harvey, it's what we call shave and puff. That is, you shave off Democratic votes electronically in the major urban areas, and then you puff up or overblow the votes in the rural Republican areas. So they don't match the exit polls.
Right. Exactly right. And, of course, this year, 19 states have eliminated exit polls. And
which will make it easier to shave and puff.
Right. And traditionally, of course, in the United States, this doesn't work in Germany, where they have a hand count of paper ballots and the exit polls agree with the official tally within 0.1%. But here, if the exit polls don't agree with the official tally, they just change the exit polls.
Yeah, I did an interview today with an Australian newspaper, Crikey, and I thought it had something to do with wrestling alligators. But and he sort of says, this seems like black humor. The rest of the world, you know, votes on paper ballots, and you guys are pushing these machines that are privately owned. You know, how does this happen? You're a historian, Harvey. How in the hell did we get in this situation where we push and pray and faith-based voting?
Well, we had Ronnie Duggar actually came here in 2004 from Texas and said that 2005 maybe he was here and said that, you know, there was a meeting of the big Republicans and somebody did a demonstration of the electronic voting machines and they all realized immediately that these were perfectly designed to steal elections, and that, you know, they're opaque. You can't get to them. They're not. There's no public accountability. There's no public access. The vote counts are done completely in secret, there's no way to get a recount. Now, the idiocy of an article that was published in Alternet by an unnamed author said basically, well, if
now, for the record, Harvey, is he a good friend of yours?
He was. I thought he was a good friend of yours, actually. I met you first.
Yeah, you're right. you and him, on occasion, didn't really, weren't willing to write together.
You know, sometimes I'm a good judge of character. So, you know, the fact is that he said in this article that if there's too big a discrepancy that between the exit polls and the general polling and the result of the election, that we'll just have a recount. But of course, as you and I know, the in the wake of 2004, with a federal injunction against destroying the records of the election, and 56 of 88 counties in Ohio did destroy their election records.
Well, maybe he missed. It's alternate. Maybe he was in an alternate universe and he simply missed that article.
A parallel universe.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, you know, this is a big problem. The people are in denial about this, and it's not that river in Egypt. They are here denying the reality of the ability to steal an election on electronic voting machines. It's ridiculous. And, you know, we're going to have to deal with this one way or another. Sooner or later, and we hope it's sooner, because this year the presidential campaign, all these Senate races are totally at the mercy of whoever does the electronic vote count. That's the reality of the situation.
To paraphrase Gandhi, it's like first the Republicans ignore us, but then it's the Democrats and the left that fights us. Why?
Well, you know, the bigger conspiracy picture is that they want to retain the ability to prevent third parties from coming up and, staging a significant challenge to the power structure. Mm. That's really what we're, the bigger corporate picture is. In the smaller realm, who knows? I mean, these people are pretty narrow-minded. You know, they think they're going to win by turnout. They can't quite cope with the fact that someone else would steal these elections electronically. They just can't process it, I suppose. Why did John Kerry concede less than 12 hours after the polls showed him winning the election?
Because he had no money in the bank?
He had $7 million at least to deal with it. So, you know, it's a catastrophic situation and really requires a tremendous citizen upheaval to break through and finally get rid of these electronic voting machines and start getting us the universal hand-counted paper ballots. That's what we really need.
Well, at the moment, Forbes.com and the Daily Investment News and Banking Insider and UPI, some mainstream forces, even Fox TV in Cincinnati, verify what the Free Press reports. Once you have that happening, it seems like the pushback comes even harder, and it comes from people we once thought were allies or associates in the struggle for full transparency and hand-counted paper ballots.
Yeah, you know, people can only be so radical so long, I guess, and, you know, some people want to play in the mainstream with the big boys and get their foundation grants and be considered credible and, not be yelled at for being conspiracy theorists, stuff like that. But that's all at the expense of the truth. And the truth is very obvious that our elections are very fungible and very easily stolen as long as we have electronic voting machines. In fact, in one letter, the author of this unnamed article complained that someone who really knows a lot about elections, Mark Christopher Miller, didn't like any machines. And, it's a nightmare. It's really a nightmare here. And we just don't know how people can kind of look at themselves in the mirror and say, well, they can steal it electronically unless we have a huge turnout. And then we'll have a recount. But, of course, we didn't have a recount in Ohio 2004, which was only a presidential election. You know, only involved the re-election of a president. And, you know, they just, they ignore this stuff, they blow it off, and they don't do the hard work. It's easy for them to attack those of us who are out here day after day fighting this fight. You know, I have a sinking feeling about this election. The polls, I'm not an Obama supporter, but I would prefer that he win. And the polls are showing him slightly ahead. But, you know, if the race is dead even, the Democrats are dead. That's as clear
all
as
right.
it could possibly
Hold
be.
That thought. I got to take a break here. I don't know. Can you stick around a little after the break? Or are you?
Yeah, that'll be fine. But I want to talk to you while you're off. So.
All right. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio and the home of Brother K, who's always educating to liberate. So if you want to conversate in the AM, stay right there. Breaking news from thefreepress.org. Experimental, untested, uncertified patches from the Ohio Secretary of State's office. And I got Harvey Wasserman coming up next.
At TalkTainmentRadio.com, we don't just talk, we don't just entertain. We've combined talk radio with the latest in online entertainment, with the ability to listen live at no cost 24/7. We are the premium.